We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The greatest return man in Redskins history, who keeps it real 24-7. This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
Jared Goff is under center, second at 6 at their own 44. The score is 7-6. Washington and Goff, play action to Henderson, drops back, plenty of time, throwing deep down the left side of the field, has Robert Woods wide open, 10-5, touchdown Los Angeles, 56-yard touchdown pass, Jared Goff to Robert Woods.
And oh my goodness, man, what a play action pass, play fake. Landon Collins actually never sees Robert Woods running down the sideline. He has his eye on number two, and he's thinking from that half-field defender position that that's the only person in his zone is number two up the seam. And so he's breaking on that out route, and Robert Woods just continues vertical from the number one receiver position, and Jared Goff off the play action pass fake, he's able to just find Robert Woods streaking down the field.
That was the biggest play yesterday, and that's D'Angelo Hall breaking it down for you. And I just asked this question real quick, and I'm not that smart of a player. I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn last night, but I did play safety when I was in 8th grade. And the one thing my coach said, if we're in cover two, you have a half of the field, okay? Your half is from the middle of the field to this sideline over here. So if someone is running in that part, how can I, in a $15 million a year man, supposed to be this all-pro style player, not see the guy who's been running deep routes all this time? If I'm in a third, I got one-third of the field. But he is there. And this has happened over and over again. And the thing for me is, we heard it be pointed out this morning, okay, by Ron Rivera when he was talking. But this has been happening week in and week out with Landon, with Apke, and the defense has played the way that they played yesterday for every game except the first game. So my question now is, why is it that now we all are starting to see what all these fans that don't watch film and don't know what's going on, all these people on radio and TV that don't know their schemes, how is it now that they're just starting to see what we've already seen? Because I have seen this movie very often already this year. I've seen other teams run the ball when they want to. I've seen them go up and down the field on us when they want to. I've seen us not throw the ball down the field, but it was all the quarterback fault at first. Now I'm starting to hear people mention an offensive line that I told you was horrible already. Okay? Yes, they're trying. They're putting forth effort. But absolutely, their effort is not good enough. They are not at the point where 100% of their effort is not what the 50% of another team is. Aaron Donald was on our football team yesterday. He lived in the backfield so damn much. And then the other guy, Reeder, linebacker, supposed to be running down the field. Hell, he had 3 sacks. Could have had more than that. So now everyone is starting to notice things when other people are put in positions. And this is where I have a problem with things, because I told you over and over again, and you know I said it, Scotty, what, one person doesn't get it done.
Correct.
It's not one person's fault. But everybody wanted to blame one person. But at this point now, I hear everyone want to bring into everything else as if that crap wasn't going on before. This has been going on since after week one, okay? We've lost four in a row. As a defense, I think the other team has scored 30 points plus. And I know you're going to tell – a lot of people tell me, well, the turnovers. Well, I watch other teams when turnovers happen, and they don't give up touchdowns.
It's not a guarantee. Depending on where that turnover takes place, teams go on drives, teams score.
Ranked team. And this is not a good thing to be ranked second in this category. We give up the second most points off of turnovers as anybody in the league. You know who was first? Dallas. And Dallas is missing about six of their players that originally started. Including we're not missing six of our players. So what is that telling? Is it telling us something? And you know, I hear a lot, and I know we fall in love with the first round picks, but I haven't seen a lot of production from a lot of the people in the interior. Now, I'm going to tell you, Chase Young is a badass. Montez Sweat is a badass. Okay? What else is happening? The inside linebackers can't cover. They're not making plays. The interior D-line, they're getting blocked. They're running out of lanes, out of position. I hear rumors where people run into the coach telling them about other people. I would say, get out of my damn office and go tell me how you could play better because you're not playing well. That is what has to happen here. Okay, we said culture change. Know what culture change should be? In my book, everybody worry about them damn selves. Everybody go out there and perform at the high level that you are capable of performing at. I don't want to hear complaining about other people if you're not playing at your best. My coaches always told me in high school and college, if you're not perfect, don't tell me about somebody else. And I would never in my life think I would hear some of the stuff I've heard about professional football players. That is what happens when the bitch-assness, that's what I'm going to call it, the bitch-assness is allowed to creep into locker rooms and to creep into mindsets.
That I sense is, a new segment,
you cannot have that
with B.
Let's be real. This team was said to have the defense is supposed to lead. And eventually, I believe they will, okay? But right now, they ain't leading nothing, okay? They have more weapons. They have more pieces. So they should be performing way better than the offense. I don't think you can say that. Now, if you want to ignore things, you can say it. But if you want to point out factual things, you cannot say that. Because they have not been leading, okay? The offense yesterday. Well, we don't throw the ball down the field. That was Dwayne Haskins' fault, supposedly. Well, what the hell happened yesterday? We threw it down the field once, and we missed it. If you only throw it once and you miss it, that's 100% that you missed a deep one. But you need to throw it down the field at least four, five, six times a game to be able to connect on some of them. You know, there's the short passes. I'm not disappointed in short passes. But something has to be schemed up just a little bit better. When you watch the Rams yesterday throw a five-yard route, they catch the ball with Field in front of them, and they could run for 5, 10, 15, 20 yards. Cooper Kupp caught his ball, turned around, and ran, I mean, almost 70 yards. But what happens is every time we throw it behind the line, one line across, somebody's right there to hit our guys. So are we not scheming up enough? Are we not executing it properly? What is the issue? I watched Andy Reid from when he was in Philadelphia to now in Kansas City. They throw a lot of short routes that end up being 20, 30-yard gains. We're not getting the same effect. So as I said before, and as a lot of fans wanted to ignore, it's not one person's problem. We have more than one issue. And this thing of we can win now, Dak Prescott is no longer playing now. The Giants still put points on the board without Saquon Barkley. The Eagles are starting to play better. They put a lot, 20-something points on the board against a damn good defense in Pittsburgh up there. So because we looked at some rankings, does that still make us think that we're that good or close? Or are we still going to be looking up? So a lot of changes have been made. All I need to know now is the game plan because I'm confused like most people are.
Somebody's going to have to win this division, Mr. Mitchell.
Yeah.
Somebody. And seeing what you saw yesterday, And I can sense the frustration in you. I know there's lots of frustration with friends who were texting me all yesterday. And we'll talk to Joe Theismann in just a couple of minutes. And then we'll open up the phones because I'm sure there's a lot of people wanting to get a lot of stuff off their chest. And we'll further discuss what happened yesterday. But I'm just pointing a finger at the head coach and the offensive coordinator and the defensive coordinator. And the defensive coordinator, as you have pointed out, is really good at not saying a lot, which does take some of the heat off him because he's not promising anything. Mm-hmm. He's not telling you to anticipate. He's saying, oh, no, no, there are absolutely things we have to get better. And then somebody will say, well, what about this guy? Is this guy's lack of tackling or bad angles? Well, you know what? We all have to tackle better. We all have to tackle, have to make, you know, have to get better angles, blah, blah, blah. He's not absolved here, but he's off to the side. Yeah. The head coach and the offensive coordinator who talked about how Kyle right now is going to give you the best chance to win, and the reason that Dwayne plummeted to three is because Alex has experience in the system. When Alex came in yesterday, and trust me, Alex gets a pass because there is rust. I totally get that. But Alex should have been rusty on medium balls and deep balls and other things that we didn't see with Dwayne because he knows the offense. Mm-hmm. That's what you told all of us, unless I misheard. Scott Turner, too. Where was the much better, easier, free-flowing offense? What looked different to you, Brian Mitchell, yesterday? What looked way different? There was one deep ball to Terry McLaurin when the game was pretty much out of reach anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, what was different? You know, instead of having a kid work his way through.
I saw nothing different as far as the execution. I saw nothing different as far as the preparation and the plan. I saw nothing different as the protection. And I also saw very much not different when the protection broke down. Okay? Listen, I'm like everybody else, and we're going to have Joe coming on. I was happy to see Alex get on the field, but I was scared as hell. I was scared as hell every time. I also noticed that every time there was pressure, and I think back to when before his injury, Alex Smith wasn't a guy who immediately pulled the ball down and tucked it and looked to run. He wasn't that guy. He became that guy yesterday every time pressure got down and when the stuff started to come into him. He didn't keep the eye down the field looking very much like a young quarterback would do, which I understand it. I've said it over and over again. Once you get back on that football field, you have to build yourself. The mental is what takes the longest to fix. Not the physical, it's the mental. And the mere fact that I saw those things, other people were like, well, he could take a hit. What did you think? When he got hit, his leg was going to explode or something? Yeah, he could take a hit. It's not taking a hit just getting tackled. It's like getting hit on it. It's how you react to it when people are around it or around the leg. And those little things were very, very obvious and prevalent. Everybody may not see it because you probably never had an injury and had to play football again. But if you did, you would understand it. We're going to take us a quick break here. We'll be joined by Joe Theismann from the Burgundy and Gold. One of the people that, you know, Joe is a guy we really, really like. And he experienced what Alex experienced. And I saw him yesterday. I talked to him yesterday and was asking him about, was he very nervous? And, you know, if you've gone through something very similar, you get nervous as hell. We'll get Joe take when we get back. This is the Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn. Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
First and 10 at their own 35 by virtue of the hit on Jalen Ramsey on Kyle Allen. And Alex Smith's first play is a swing pass to J.D. McKissic. Slips through a tackle, crosses the 40 to the 41 and out of bounds. Gain of 6 on first down on the first throw for Alex Smith in over 2 years.
So Kyle Allen is actually headed to the locker room, and the very few fans that are here all, of course, applauding. Anybody has to, even if you're on the Rams side, the fact that he is back here and playing.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And Julie Donaldson is absolutely right. I think anyone that has been around here, anyone has heard about this struggle and this journey of Alex Smith. You were excited to see him on the football field yesterday. And the young man that's joining us next probably has a closer seat than anybody else out there because he dealt with a very, very similar injury. And for him to be there, a guy who's been texting Alex Smith throughout this journey, I was wondering how nervous he was, just as I was when I watched him go on the football field. Joe Theismann, legend from the Washington football team, joins us here on the Brian Mitchell Show on the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline. Joe, how you doing, man?
I'm great, Mitch. Good to catch up with you, too. Hi, Scott.
Appreciate you giving us some time. And your feelings when you first saw Alex go on the field, I know it was excitement, but that nervousness had to be inside, too.
It was trepidation. You just don't know. Ron has always said he didn't want to put Alex in there until he felt like he could protect himself. When he elevated him to the number two, I think he felt comfortable about it, but yet you still didn't know for sure what was going to happen. And then when he moved up in the pocket on the first pass, or one of the passes he threw, I got excited about that. And then when he got sacked, unfortunately, you don't want to say you get excited when you see a sack, but with Aaron Donald on his back, the leg held up very well, and I felt like Alex is good to go. That was what I needed to see, was his ability to be able to take a hit. And then he moved around pretty well also, moved around very well, as a matter of fact. So, he's back to playing quarterback in the National Football League.
Joe Theismann joins us via the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline here on the Brian Mitchell Show on a Monday. At Theismann7 is where you can find the raconteur and author as well. Joe, rewind a little bit. Where was Dwayne in your eyes vis-a-vis where he needed to be when the change was made?
I think he was in the process of learning how to play the position of quarterback, especially in this system. I think, there's a couple things that Dwayne evidently did that Ron and Scott and Ken wanted to see more out of. I think he misses high, which is not a good thing. And his footwork wasn't as polished as I think where they wanted to be regarding the system. Those are things that are fixable. Those are things that he can commit himself to get better at. I mean, the rest of this year, and you don't know how it's going to play out, there's a chance he could wind up back on the field. You just don't know. And so you have to work on your trade now. This is a job. And you want to be good at your job, and you want to be able to find out from people what you need to do to get better at your job. And I think that's what Dwayne's going to have to do now. But evidently, Ron named him the starter from day one. So he's worked with the ones all the way through up until last week. And evidently, Coach made a decision and felt like it would be, he needs more work. And not by his fault alone. The simple fact that he just didn't have the OTAs, the mini camps, the training camps, the preseason. Those things didn't happen. And it's unfortunate. But, and he needs it. He needs the time to be able to develop. This is his third system. He came out of school with 1 year of experience. Basically, his teammates at Ohio State, it was a track team. When you think of Terry McLaurin as being the third guy in that wide receiving core, you think, wow, they were unbelievable. Well, you don't have that around you. And obviously the offensive line has issues. So there are things around him that have happened, but there's also things that he can do better.
Joe Theismann joins us here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM, on the Team 980's Win the Nation guest hotline. Joe, I heard you talking about Al, as you say, when you saw him run onto the field, he has this gait that you say you have now. What is that all about and what you noticed?
It's a little bit, it's not smooth. It's not like one leg is in front of the other and you see him just jog along. It's a little bit like, I like to say it's like a ship listing a little left to right. It almost looks like a little sway to the way he runs. And that's just getting more and more comfortable, I think. Alex's situation was different than mine after the injury. Certainly before the injury, when it happened, it was similar. But now, you can see where he's gotten to. And I think it's great that he's reached a point where he feels comfortable and he feels strong in that leg. And I got to tell you something, too. Throwing that heavy ball around yesterday, that wasn't easy. I mean, that ball weighed, a whole lot more. So, here's a guy who hasn't played football in a while. You're throwing around the ball. You're on a sloppy, wet field. And I just thought things went as well as they possibly could for him yesterday.
Joe, all the more reason, and I'll ask an opinion question here. You're sitting at home. Kyle, you hear during the broadcast, gets cleared and is able to return. Yet Alex stays on. Wet field, porous O-line. Were you surprised that they stuck with Alex?
No, not at all. I think when Ron put him out there, he felt like he was going to be able to play. And then, you know, until you got word, you didn't get word right away that Kyle was ready to go. But I think what Ron saw was Alex was functioning in the offense. And, I mean, he got sacked 6 times. It wasn't because he held the ball long. It's just that the struggles we have are up front. And I thought the Rams did something very unique. What they did is they rushed 5. They made each offensive lineman be accountable for one defensive player. And who's going to block Aaron Donald? I mean, there aren't many offensive linemen in the National Football League who have been to the Pro Bowl or any place else that have blocked Aaron Donald. And so he had himself one heck of a day, as well as that front. But I think that Ron wanted to, you know, err to the side of caution. He just didn't want to throw Kyle back out there.
As I look at this offense, Joe, and this is my opinion, maybe different than yours or anyone else's. What I saw yesterday with the offensive line I've seen all year so thus far, and that has been a problem for the longest. And when I hear a coach tell me these other guys are more experienced, I expect to see a different offense once they get into it. I saw the exact same offense yesterday. I saw the same short passes. And it doesn't seem that it's necessarily the actual quarterback. It's the scheme of how they have things going that kind of keep the guys throwing short to long. I know Tom Brady was always a short to long thinker. Now they tend to think long to short. I think the way we were taught as an offense is short to long. That's why we get so many short passes.
Well, I think, you know, When you have an offensive line that can't hold up, it's tough to be able to look down the field. You have to get the ball out of your hands. You have to give guys a chance to be able to make plays. And I think what Scott's trying to do, remember, I mean, he's now going to be in his 6th time. He will only have offensive coordinated 10 games, 4 last year and the 6 coming up this year. Mm-hmm. So he's learning what he has to deal with. He's learning what he can do. I think that you know, what we saw Dwayne do were things that he did very well in college. He threw the quick bubble screens and he threw the quick posts. Those were things he did in college. Now, as far as the expansiveness of the offense goes, that's where you look at training camp and say he didn't have all that preseason, all mm-hmm. that work in the offseason to be able to get further into this offense. I do believe that will move. I think we'll see this week against the Giants what they're able to do. Are they going to be able to hold up against that rush? Are you going to be able to get the ball down the field a little bit more? Those are the questions that still remain unanswered.
What did you see from Kyle in the small amount, aside from under siege?
I think, yeah, being under siege is one thing. this was the difference. And Ron made this point, is he's been in the system. And I think he's able to anticipate routes a little bit more than Dwayne is, only because, again, it's, you know, playing quarterback in the National Football League is a bit newer to him than it is Kyle. The familiarity with the system is different. And I think him being able to anticipate getting the ball out of his hands a little bit quicker is really where the big difference lies.
Joe, I'll just say this. He better learn. Stop trying to run over those damn defensive backs. They're crazy these days.
You know, and this is, you know, here's the thing. You're 100% right. You know, I tell every young quarterback one simple thing. Your number one job is to keep yourself healthy enough to be able to play in practice. Mm-hmm. Now, you have, as at the quarterback position, you have nothing to prove to anyone that you're a tough guy. I don't give a darn if you consider yourself a tough guy or if anybody on this team considers you a tough guy. You have a job, and that's to be available and play and practice. And you do that by protecting yourself. I watched Patrick Holmes yesterday. He ran backwards 3 yards to get out of bounds. Uh-huh. You have to play this position smart.
Yeah.
And that's if I could sit down with Kyle, I would say one thing. You don't have to try and run over anybody. What you have to do is be able to line up the next play. And if it's 3rd and 10, throw a 6-yard pass and give your running back a chance to pick up the other 5. But the most important thing you can do is stay on that field and protect yourself. And if you're scrambling, go down. Get up and be able to play the next play. That would be the one thing I would stress. I would stress it to Dwayne. Alex understands it, so you don't have to explain it to him. But Kyle and Dwayne both are young guys. And believe me, you're going to lose every battle in this league when you're up against either a defensive back or a linebacker or a defensive lineman they're chasing. You will lose every one.
Super Bowl champion, NFL MVP Joe Theismann, nice enough to join us. Catch him on Twitter, of course, at Theismann7. He's here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM, via the Team 980's Window Nation guest hotline. Saw your tweet on TV and on Twitter yesterday, Mr. Theismann. Advice for Dak Prescott, your reaction when you saw that?
Yes.
Oh, I was sick for Dak. I feel so bad. And, you know, he not only had the same breaks as Alex and I with the open compound fracture of both bones, he had a dislocated ankle. Mm. And, you know, I was listening to watching TV this morning, listening to people talk about it, that the doctor basically has said they think he'll be back in 4 to 6 months. Remember, he was a lot younger than Alex and I. And medicine has changed an awful lot in this period of time. So hopefully his body will heal to a point where there won't be any infection. There won't be any setbacks when it comes to having him back on the field. And you know, like I said, I pray that he's okay and able to go. And, you know, conceivably it could happen. I mean, he could be ready. If he's ready inside of 6 months, he's going to wind up being able to compete. And, you know, what does Jerry Jones do? I mean, I want Dak to be healthy to be able to go play football again. That's what my prayer is for him. But the Dallas Cowboys also have a decision. He's on a franchise tag.
Yeah.
And, you know, now, do you give it? Do you franchise him again? So much will depend on what he looks like going forward when it comes to being able to get ready to play the game again.
Joe, book came out over the summer, How to Be a Champion Every Day. The link is howtobeachampionbook.com. How's it going, sir? And how are you during this pandemic time?
The family's good like everybody else. I think, you know, you see upticks because people are becoming more and more social, getting out a little bit more. I still think we have to be smart. We have to wash our hands, social distance, and wear our masks. I mean, masks now have become a part of our life.
Yep.
I know I was thinking of masks a little bit like safety belts. You know, when we had to wear seat belts, people were saying, I don't want to do that. Wear a mask. You know, do things that are smart for you and the people around you and protect the people around you.
I look at it like a pair of shoes or a tie. I got all colors to match all my outfits.
That's right. Everyone, Mitch, I know, man. It doesn't matter. You will style no matter what you have to put on.
And I'm trying.
The mask is like it's like your pocket hanky.
Yep.
It's just moved up a little bit. That's all.
That's it. Well, Joe, man, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. Take care of yourself.
Thanks, guys. You too. Talk to you.
All right. Joe Theismann joining us here on the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM. We'll be right back.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980 and the Team 980 app.
All right, welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show. And we're gonna get this basketball out the way so we can get back into some football. We'll open up the phone lines a little bit later on. But last night you saw the Los Angeles Lakers get their 17th title as they went out there and they dismantled the Miami Heat, which I just said to Anthony was, if they were that damn good, why did they take 6 games to get it done? They should have did it in 4, maybe 5. But I'm just saying, everybody talk about who doesn't take a step back and whatever, but I'm just saying, if you're that good, you could be leading at 30, 28-30 at halftime, you should have washed them out in 4 and been done with it.
As great as Friday night's game was, B. Mitch, was as crappy as last night's game.
Oh, it was.
I sat down, and I don't know if I – you and I spoke after the game. I said I was going to text you a picture. I was sitting down in the basement, I was loving being able to do that. I turned the baseball game on one, basketball on the other, and the Sunday night game, which turned out to be a whale of a game. We'll get to that in a little bit, I'm sure, as well. And I'm watching all three, and I'm like, all right, look, this has a chance to be the last basketball game of the season, so pay attention. Watching the first half, and Caruso starts, and LeBron and the Lakers in transition, and they are off. And then you blink, and you go, well, that escalated quickly. Yep. Now they're up 15. Now they're up 28 at halftime. And then I was talking to our buddy Steve Solomon about this. If you watched the halftime show with Maria and Jay Will and Jalen and Mr. Pierce, if you watched it with the sound up, and maybe you went to a, I don't know, friend's house and did it distantly, uh-huh. whatever. if you watched it with the sound up, there was no energy from the halftime crew whatsoever. And I'm not saying they're supposed to be there to blow smoke and say, oh, look, what a tight battle we've got here. No, no, no. I don't want you to lie to me. But they sounded like, God forbid, someone had died.
Yeah, they were like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, there's, right, they,
we
know,
expect
and Jalen,
more.
Right, Jalen's like, there's going to be a
I
coronation,
turned it off.
So congratulations to the
I started watching
the
football game.
Yeah, so I'm sitting there going,
and
man, that,
and
was
the,
just,
that was much better.
Oh,
watching
my gosh,
Russell
of course.
Wilson do his thing was better than watching that damn blowout.
Yes.
Now,
but it was,
they did
kudos
fight
to LeBron.
End.
Yeah, kudos. I mean, you know, they cut it to 13. You knew it was over. I mean, Jimmy Butler was amazing and then some on Friday night. For him to give you every single ounce of energy that he has and try to make it work as well as he could, fantastic.
Yep.
But there wasn't enough, and it was too much in the end. It was too much LeBron. And I don't want to say he willed, because last night he got help. Rajon Rondo showed up in the first half and was nailing him from deep and driving, and he did a little hesitation, a little okey-doke, and used Tyler Hero.
Yeah.
And you're going, damn. You know, I was very, very impressed. But he needed help from different people. He got help. And KCP had, what, 17 last night as well? AD got his. You know, all of a sudden everybody's concerned after Friday night. Ooh, is his heel going to be fine? Is he? He'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm starting to see more, that he's kind of like, he likes to play up stuff.
There's,
but I'll say this.
Yeah, there's drama.
Anthony Davis may not get as much credit as he deserved, but if you watch guys shooting last night in the lane, and you watch,
oh, he was there to
Anthony
change.
Anthony Davis made Tyler Hero try all these moon shots. He had Jimmy Butler not scared to go in the lane.
He was an alterer.
He was making Bam Adebayo. He was afraid. He wasn't going into the lane. So his presence made a hell of a difference. Listen, LeBron gets the MVP. I don't care what would have happened. LeBron was going to get the MVP. But Anthony Davis should have a co-something, because Anthony Davis changed up Miami's approach just by being in the lane. Once he lined up in the lane, you know, early on, remember I was saying he couldn't get a damn rebound? And then all of a sudden, he became a menace, more than Superman, you know, who was talking about never give up on your dreams. Dude, they carried you through the thing. You ain't do damn nothing, okay? But the ultimate thing, Anthony Davis being in there playing D in that lane changed the outlook of this deal.
No, you saw it. And on the other end, speaking of moon stuff and floaters, that one floater by KCP where he had to pull the ball behind his head and just – it looked like something that I would do against my cousins when I was little and I had no shot whatsoever. He throws it high off the glass.
Yeah.
And it goes just part of, you know, everything. And they deserve to be up 64-36 at the break. They played defense. They turned around and they were blowing them out of the water with speed, with running, with transition. You know, you knew it was going to end. And by halftime, I moved that game off the big screen and off to the side screen. I was like, yeah, I'm good. That's more than enough.
You hear that? I moved it off the big screen onto the side screen. Hold on. Did you have another screen too, didn't you?
Well, there's three screens.
See.
But the big screen, I don't know
what type of money they getting paid. We got to talk to management, dog.
No,
they got eight TVs and stuff.
No, they got an eight TV thing. Mr. Mitchell, I did this on a budget. My side screens are 39s. They're little. They're not. And the big.
Your side TV what?
The sides are 39s, little 30. So they were, you know, you go to Costco, you know, you go to Price Club, you go to
right
Sam's Club.
Say my big TV is a 18, and you talk about your small one is a 39.
And my big TV in my room is a 12-inch black and white from my mom's kitchen that I still swear by.
Yeah, you lying.
Sony.
That's a
plug
lie.
Plug it in, rabbit ears.
That's in your stall where you go handle your business at. Yeah, look, you know, most people have like a TV. He has a TV in just the toilet. He has a TV there.
Who's this, Walker?
You.
Nah, please. Get out of here.
12 inch black and white. Yeah, right. Please.
That's same team as my little baby Zenith. I take that everywhere I got to go.
But now, listen, LeBron played.
Yeah, he
showed
did.
Up. And I think he led that team, because most of that team are straight stragglers and front runners. He was the one making them all try to do something. Because you notice what he did down the stretch. J.R. Smith stayed on the bench. Because he know Jared probably went out there, called a timeout, or passed the ball to somebody else. He stayed on the bench. Most of those dudes jumping around on the sideline. And Jared Smith, keep your shirt on, dude. You didn't do a damn thing in the game, but he the first person to take his shirt off. And he kills
before the
me.
Game ended.
And Kyle Kuzma, don't drink champagne if you cannot – if you're going to be drunk that quick.
That was the other thing, too. I saw Stephen A. Ant called out Kyle Kuzma. He's like, after Friday night's game, he goes, hey, anybody seen him? Because I think you should call the cops and put out an APB. And he showed up last night to the point of 2 points in 22 minutes, but yet he was topless, showing everybody off his skin scriptures. And he was talking about, I'm still, what I sent you the audio, where he's like, I'm drunk because all the champagne was hitting me in the face.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't believe
drunk on getting carried to a title by Rajon Rondo. That's what he's drunk on.
Yeah, it was actually funny, though. But you know what? Hey, I I'm impressed. And don't talk about I want my damn respect. People respect you, dude. You're just not Jordan. That's all they tell you.
That's what this is going to do.
I'm just saying. But what he does, he wants someone so bad on national TV to say, you're better than Jordan now. You're not. It took you 10 to get 4. Took him 6 to get 6. Case closed. Let's take a quick break here.
Wait, real quick, before we go to the break. So Ann will get a kick out of this, too. I was joking with Zabe on Friday. If the series was going to end, and obviously it has since ended, I said, wouldn't it be wonderful if Mr. Davis scores 60 in a clinching game? And it's like 60 and 21, and he gets the MVP. LeBron would be up there holding the championship trophy, but not the MVP, and he would have gone, yeah, I'd like to congratulate the winner, just like he talked about Giannis when Giannis won the MVP.
Yeah,
because you know he would have done that. You absolutely would have said, congrats to the winner, but why was I so far back in the voting? That's what he would have said. Come on, LeBron, congrats on your title. Yeah, you deserve
it. I'm happy for you, doll, but you're not Black Jesus. This is the Brian Mitchell Show. We're going to be back in a few.
The Brian Mitchell Show with Scott Lynn on the Team 980. And the Team 980 app.
One. You will do this 4 times with the left, 4 with the right, then 8 times with both, then repeat.
Welcome back to the Brian Mitchell Show here with Scott Lynn, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM. And get your answers to the questions that you have about registering to vote, voting, and elections by logging on to newsone.com/vote. That's newsone.com/vote. Early voters registration is underway. Every one vote counts. No election or issue is too small if it impacts our community. Don't sit on the sidelines this year. Make sure you're registered to vote and vote early. All right, we had Ron Rivera talk to the media earlier today. It seemed like that thing has moved up. Huh? It used to be a little later. Moved up a little bit. But we're going to go through some of the things, and then we're going to open up these phone lines because I'm sure a lot of people have a lot of gripes, a lot of things they want to say. And the first question was asked, have you talked with Kyle, and how is he feeling?
Yeah, I did. We had a good conversation about that, and I told him, hey, as long as you're feeling well, I know he was pretty sore. He'll be even more sore today, but as long as you're feeling well and we're ready to roll on Wednesday, he's our starter.
All right, and this is the way I would have asked this question because I'm sure everybody wanted to hear it and wanted to know the answer to it. Coach, what the hell happened on that 56-yard touchdown?
Well, we were in our cover two coverage, and Landon was the half defender. Kendall was the flat defender. He was supposed to jam and widen. He did widen him. And it looked like Landon had a bad angle. He made the break, but I thought his break was a little bit fat. I'd like to see him climb a little bit more on that break, and that's what it looked like to me.
Have you had the chance to talk to Alex since the game yesterday?
I did. I had an opportunity afterwards. Spent a little bit of time with him in the locker room, and he felt good. I was pleased. I was excited for him. You know, he went out and had a good time. It would have been a lot better if we could have protected a little bit more. But I thought he handled it well. I thought he made some good decisions. He made quick decisions, got the ball out of his hands. It was tough. You're playing from behind, and the other team knows it. They changed their approach, and that's tough. And I thought he handled it very well. And we'll see how he is. He's going to be sore, but I bet it's going to be a good kind of sore.
Did you see after the quarterback switch? Did you see what the areas of improvement that you wanted to see at that position?
I thought the scoring drive that Kyle led us on was good. I thought he made good decisions. He delivered a good ball for the most part. And then unfortunately, the next time he had a little drive going, he got knocked out of the game. But again, it's what we're looking for. He managed it well. And we'll see how things go if he's healthy and ready to roll on Wednesday and see how it goes this week.
I'm sure it has to be something that somebody's going to call in, but we'll discuss that area a little bit later because I don't necessarily know how much better the quarterback play was because I saw 18 passes completed for 100 yards.
For not that many yards.
Yeah, that
whatever. So he's a head coach.
Yeah, we'll get into that, though. But after Kyle Allen was medically cleared to return to the game, why did you stick with Alex Smith if you wanted to make sure you want to make a run at this division?
Because I think Alex is a very more than capable quarterback. I really do. And again, it was a very difficult set of circumstances to be put into. To be playing from behind when you're playing a very aggressive, good defense, especially one led by Aaron Donald. I mean, to me, that's the tough part. And I don't know how much different it would have been if I had gone back to Kyle, but I didn't want to see Kyle take another shot like that. So, again, that's why I made my decision to go the direction I did.
My comments, I'm going to address this right now.
To come after. Okay. Oh, you want to do it now?
I'm going to address this right now because – you knew Aaron Donald was playing before the game started. And I think everyone knew the weather was coming. And I one thing I don't like is when we say the conditions. As I recall, Jared Goff played in the same conditions.
He did.
And he passed for over 300 yards. And the Rams rushed for over 100 yards. So it didn't seem like the conditions really truly affected them, how we keep bringing up the conditions. My thing is, if you have a more experienced quarterback, they should be able to handle those conditions. So I know people are saying, well, it's hard to judge someone in those conditions. Why not? I mean, I was just told that these two guys know the offense better. They give me a better chance to play. And what I saw, listen, I'm being honest. I said before the game, if they can't run the ball, we were in trouble. We did not run the ball effectively. So we were in trouble. We were one-dimensional, okay? And whether it was Alex or Kyle can get out and run right now. Alex can't do that exactly right now. No, he got out the pocket one time because when he pulled it down and ran forward, nobody was there. He was able to run out. He got rid of the ball quickly. The other times, he was quickly pulling the ball down, which I have never seen him do when he was healthy. So right now, it's something different. But the whole thing is you become one-dimensional against any defense in the NFL, and you're in trouble. So we ran the ball a total, I think, yesterday, 13 times probably? That's not going to get it done. And that's how it's been looking throughout this year. And, yes, we can say we got down. I don't think we were so far down yesterday where you had to just dismiss the run. Now, the problem I've had is that I've been saying this offensive line has been atrocious since the beginning. And we've been making excuses for them. They're still bad. And that is why the quarterbacks, before the change and now, didn't perform. Because the O-line can't do much. But as you hear yesterday, we're trying to now give the quarterbacks an excuse because of the O-line. When that same O-line has been horrible throughout. That's nothing new. That's just the way it's been. And we got to be fair with that. We ran the ball 14 times.
14 total, yeah.
For 48 yards. No, 38 yards. And that's not enough carries. It's damn sure not a great enough per carry average. That's not going to get it done. That has to get better. Because I don't think Alex or Kyle will survive if there's no running game. And we are doing quick passing and they're sacking us eight times and hitting us another six to eight times. That happened prior to yesterday as well. And people just have to be honest to themselves and be fair across the board. Not many people are going to perform behind that offensive line as it is right now.
Right, not currently, no.
Yeah, it may get better later. It may change up. And then let's be honest with ourselves too. Defensively, we are nowhere close to what we have been touted as. Yeah, we got a lot of first-rounders. They are not playing like first-rounders. Yeah, we got a lot of high picks, but they're getting gut gas just like a hot knife through butter. So let's understand, this has been a problem across the board, not with one person, not with one unit. Special teams, what have they done this year that made you really say, oh, y'all, they're going to give us a chance to win? Not a damn thing. The most consistent player on the team for the last 8 years, 5 years, how long has he been on the team? Trez Wade. He punts. He changed the field. He flips the field. But you know what? I've never seen nobody say, that punter led us to the Super Bowl. That's not going to happen. So we need to get some other people to get up and play a lot better. And let's be honest about things. Listen, I don't care that you critique people, but critique everybody the same way. Let's not give people passes, because when you don't critique, when you're doing it on one person, you don't say that, the other person think they're doing well. And watching film, watching games, it's a lot of people not doing well. All right, phone lines are open when we get back. I want to start getting your takes. 301-230-0980. People with sense, we will take your calls. People that don't have no damn sense, you're wasting your time because we're not going to talk to you. This is the Brian Mitchell Show, Team 980, Team 980 app, 95.9 FM. We'll be back.